I love that video because it kind of merges together the childhood Christmas memories with growing up, with the mystery of what Christmas is. I'm excited that we're here today. I'm excited that we're doing service on Christmas Day, because why not, right? Why not? We have been working through a series where we have been looking at Christmas songs, but not like Christmas carols. The songs that Luke, when he wrote his story of Jesus being born, he writes into the Christmas story, almost like you'd see a musical where there's a story and then song about what's going on, story, song, story, song. And we've seen kind of the significance of this, how it expresses the emotions of what's going on in the characters' hearts at the time. And it kind of goes hand in hand with how significant music is to this time of year for us around Christmas time, where we sing songs this time of year that we don't sing other times of year. Songs that often have great, deep words to them that we wouldn't be able to express on our own. And so far, we've looked at Mary's song, which is often called the Magnificat, where she sings about the great honor it is to be the one who gets to bear the Messiah that comes into the world, and how she asks these why me questions. But not why me in the bad sense of like when bad things happen to me, why me? But she asks why me questions in the sense of when she sees God's mercy and faithfulness, she asks why me with humility. Then we read about Zechariah and his song, where he sings this Benedictus, we call it, where he and the rest of Israel has been feeling like God hasn't been around. And so when his son is born, John, who would be the precursor to Jesus, he says, oh my goodness, God has shown up to save his people. Finally, God has come. And last week we looked at the angel song to the shepherds, the one where we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. It's a really long Gloria. I don't know how long the angels held it for. But they sang about giving glory to God, that don't give credit to the messenger for this great news, this great act that is going on. And that salvation has come for all people through Jesus, the one with whom God is well pleased. This morning on Christmas Day, we are going to be looking at the final song. All of these have been kind of culminating to today, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And we're going to be looking at an interesting song today, the song sung by a man named Simeon. Now, I have a slide here with a painting of Simeon holding Jesus. I think it's a beautiful painting that really captures some of the themes of Simeon's song as he sings. And take a mental note of this, and you may see some of these themes coming out this morning as we look at Simeon's song that he sings about the Messiah Jesus. I don't want to keep us too long this morning, so we're going to kind of go through this text, this song, at a fairly good pace. I'm going to kind of read through it bit by bit and just kind of do some teaching throughout it, and we'll be looking at it at quite a quick pace. There's so much in here, but we just don't have time to hit on it. Here's my main point, though, this morning with where we're going, okay? This is the main point. Jesus affects everybody. But not everybody responds the same. Jesus affects everybody, but not everybody responds the same. So we're going to dive in. If you're going to use a pew Bible or the one that you brought with you, we're in Luke 2, verses 22 to 35. If you want to cheat, that's on page 857. Luke 2, 22 to 35. Here it kind of zooms in on a picture of Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born. This is what it says. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem, his parents brought Jesus, to present him to the Lord, as was written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Two turtle doves, two young pigeons, and that is what they offered. Now, this is kind of a snapshot that we get here that that tells us a bit about Mary and Joseph. They are going to the temple after, like, about 40 days after Jesus was born. See, in the Old Testament law, they had these purification laws where women who had a baby, especially a firstborn, they would have to have 33 days of cleansing before they could come to the temple. I don't know if that's like mom get to go to the spa for a month or whatever it looked like, but that's what their law required. And especially with a firstborn son, this would be significant. They would go and dedicate it to God, dedicate their child to God. And this kind of, we talk about dedicating the first things that we have to God often when we talk about money or we hear about crops and things like that. But it's kind of interesting to hear about children that way, that the firstborn would be dedicated to God. And it's just really a way of saying that God has brought this about. It's because of God that this great thing has happened. And so we give back to God what God has given to us, that they would dedicate their child to God in the temple. What's interesting here, though, a little detail, is that normally the offering that would be made when they go to the temple would be a lamb. That's what was written out in the law. But there was provision in the law that if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could bring two turtle doves and two pigeons. So from what we can tell here, Mary and Joseph, they're probably pretty poor. They couldn't afford the lamb necessary. It's amazing, though, that they had in their hands the lamb that would be slain, the lamb that would be the perfect sacrifice that all of humanity would need. Then all of a sudden the scene changes. This is what happens. Now there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Significant detail here. The Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. See, before Jesus died and rose again and all his followers were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would only come upon certain people for certain times throughout history. We see it with prophets, that the Holy Spirit would come upon a specific prophet for a certain time, or a king, or a leader, or something like that. And so we see that God, for a specific moment, has Simeon filled with the Holy Spirit for some specific purpose. We even see the Holy Spirit filling John, Jesus' cousin, while he's still in the womb. It shows that there's something significant about this person, that they will do something significant for the Lord. Let's keep reading. And it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. What's amazing here is the crazy coincidence, maybe. Simeon lives in Jerusalem, this big city, the one of the larger cities in all of Israel at the time, and he just so happens by the Spirit to come into the temple the same time Mary and Joseph are coming in with their son Jesus. And Simeon was promised that he would not die until he saw the one who would come and save Israel. Can you imagine what kind of hope you would have if you had a promise from God that you're not going to die until you see the salvation that God is bringing? Like, people have been waiting for centuries for this, and you know I get to see it. But I love the coincidence here, that the Holy Spirit brings Simeon to the temple when Mary and Joseph come in with Jesus. And I think we, in our own lives, we need to open our eyes up to coincidence. That God actually works a lot through coincidence. When things line up the right way, when you happen to be at the right place at the right time, keep your eyes open. Because God might have you there for a specific purpose. God might be setting you up for something that he wants to do in and through you. God works through this coincidence here with Simeon and does so in our own lives. And so Simeon sees Jesus, sees Mary and Joseph, and takes Jesus up in his arms like we see in the picture, and he begins to sing this song. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I can now depart because my eyes have seen your salvation. What's very cool to me in reading this is he's holding a baby in his arms and recognizes that this is God's salvation. See, God's salvation for his people wasn't in the form of an army. It wasn't a general who would come and raise up an army to free them from the Romans who were occupying their land. It wasn't a revolution that would come up and overthrow the higher class. God's salvation was a person, Jesus. And we so often in our churchiness and religiosity can often forget that salvation is a person. We often chalk it up to doing more good things than bad things, or being religious enough, being a good person. But that's not it. No, God's salvation is a person who come into the world to save us from ourselves. Only Jesus could do that. Only a God apart from us coming in to be with us could save us from us. We couldn't do it for ourselves. Jesus, the God-man, is God's salvation for us. Simeon continues to sing. He says, I've seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. It's significant that he says this because Jesus and his coming has been prepared in the presence of all people. Meaning, Jesus isn't a secret. This isn't like God's like secret work that he's doing somewhere in a corner where no one else knows. For hundreds of years, this has been foretold. There have been prophecies in place and things leading up to this. Throughout Advent, we've been reading a lot of passages from the Old Testament that foretold Jesus as we lit the Advent candles. This isn't something that happened in secret. It was something that was done in plain sight. Now, it might not be exactly how people expected it to look, but it's not something that God had hidden from them. And the fact that it's in before all people is significant because ancient Jews, they tended to be kind of introverted, inward focused in their outlook on the world. They saw themselves as God's people, and so they were the ones who get to benefit from God's work in the world. But Jesus came into a world for people of all races, all cultures, all nationalities. He would be a light to the Gentiles, it says. All those who were not Jewish. So anyone who didn't grow up in a Jewish home, who didn't hear the stories about their God, Jesus came into the world to reveal God to all these people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. And the glory to his people, Israel. The significance of this is God has used Israel throughout history to bring Jesus about. That Israel is like the chosen tool that God has used to bring this about to happen, that all people, not just Israel, would be able to see God in Christ. And so Israel gets the glory of being part of God's work in revealing himself to the world. Then, after Simeon finishes his song, things kind of take a dark turn. And his father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is incredibly confusing how it's worded here. I don't know why they make it so hard. I like it better in the New Living Translation, so I'm going to read that to you. Simeon says to Mary, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." This is the first indication that Mary and Joseph get about the cross. That the good news of Jesus coming, his birth, the Savior coming to the world, also means that in saving them, he would be betrayed, beaten, and executed. We can't celebrate the manger without looking at the cross, without looking at the empty tomb. Good Friday and Easter makes Christmas good news. And it looks here like Simeon might be bursting Mary's bubble. I mean, she's so excited about bringing the Messiah into the world by getting to be part of what God is doing. And he says, many in Israel will fall because of him. Many will rise. But he is a sign from God, but many will oppose him. Jesus is one of the most divisive people in history. A lot of people say, well, oh, Jesus was a great guy. He was a good moral teacher. You can't not like Jesus. He's like Gandhi. You've got to like him. But the problem with that is you're not listening to Jesus' words with that kind of thing. Jesus claimed to be a Messiah. He claimed to be exclusive. He claimed to be God. Jesus came into the world and a lot of people weren't excited about what that meant. John, Jesus' best friend, wrote about Jesus. He said, Jesus came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There were people who opposed Jesus, as there are now. Because the salvation that God offered in Jesus didn't look like the salvation that they were wanting. I mean, think about it this way. As a kid, you want to eat cookies and cake and bacon for every meal. That's what you want. That's what you would love to do for every meal. But any parent knows that cookies and cake and bacon for every meal is not what your child needs. It might be what they want, but that won't make them grow to be strong and healthy. God is giving people the salvation that they need, not necessarily the salvation that they want. People wanted salvation from the bad things in the world around them, not realizing that what they needed was salvation from the bad things inside them. And so Jesus kind of required a decision of people. It's either he is who he says he is, or he isn't. He either is God who has come into the world, who's come to die, to forgive your sins, and to heal you from that badness within you. Or he's the liar of the worst kind, pretending to be God. Or he's crazy and delusional. As Mary heard from Simeon and would later experience in her own life, many chose options 2 and 3, that Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, and those same people would have him crucified. And in doing so, like Simeon said, the state of their hearts, the very evil that Jesus came to save them from, becomes incredibly apparent. And as Simeon so poetically puts it, and a sword would pierce Mary's very soul. That the good news that God has come to earth to save people comes at a price. He's saying, don't be blinded by the mourning that will come in order for this salvation to happen. Not everyone will react as joyfully as you did, Mary, when they find out that this Savior has come. Jesus coming into the world affects everyone, but not everyone will react the same. Now, I don't mean to put a damper on your Christmas celebrations. I know this is kind of gloomy-ish. But like Simeon foretold, Jesus coming on the scene causes us to show our cards, that it will reveal the thoughts of our hearts. Christmas and what it represents causes us to show our cards, because Jesus coming into the world requires a decision. Is he who he says he is? Is he who his followers said he is? Or is he just lying about it? Is he delusional? As you celebrate today, whatever that looks like for you, take some time to reflect, how am I responding to Jesus? How am I responding to him coming into the world? Am I someone who, like Simeon, is overjoyed by Christ, having the peace that your eyes have seen God's salvation? Or are you like those who oppose the sign of God, who are those who caused to fall by the coming of Christ? As we celebrate today, and celebrate well, I mean, it's worth celebrating. Remember that the manger leads to the cross and leads to the empty tomb. We're not just celebrating a baby today. We're celebrating a Savior and a risen King who continues to be with us. Let's pray. Father, you are good to us in sending your Son, in giving us the salvation that we need, not necessarily the salvation that we wanted, because it's what's good for us. You want what's good for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond to Christ with joy in seeing your great salvation, realizing that it is divisive, it is difficult, but it is good. Lord, as we celebrate today, may it be honoring to you. May it reflect the goodness of Christ. And may we enjoy your goodness in the midst of it, in this merry Christmas time. Amen.